Rule your mind or it will rule you. Rule your mind or it will rule you. Somebody has said there's only two kinds of people in the world. There are those who wake up in the morning and say, "Good morning, Lord." And there are the others that wake up and say, "Good Lord, it's morning." I can remember them days, some days when I was early in life, and I think about those days and the difference between the days when I can get up now and say, "Good morning, Lord," and the days when I said, "Good Lord, it's morning." The thing that kind of intrigued me this week was I read the paper, and we all know about the Dallas County Sheriff. He was convicted of taking some money that was taken in during a drug stop in western Iowa. And we read in the fact that he tried to take his life this week before his actually sentencing is coming up, I believe. And he tried to take his life. It was also put in the same article that his wife had tried to take her life unsuccessfully at an earlier date. We read that same morning about a young lady that they had arrested for putting her newborn child in a dumpster or a trash can. What did these people fear? What was the reason for their fear? I don't know the answer to that question, but I know how fear worked in my life when I was younger. Things weren't working out right. Things just weren't going like you wanted them to. Fear is not a good thing. If you let it run wild in your life, it makes you make all the wrong choices. Overcoming the problem that has caused the fear in the first place. And I think fear is a terrible thing. And I think the examples that I just mentioned here would make any of us believe that fear is a terrible thing in some situations. These people did not handle it like they should have. They were only thinking things were going to get worse. Things were looking down for them, and I just can't imagine how the young lady could do that to her newborn baby. But the sheriff, I can understand him thinking of his path ahead of him and the things to come, and he didn't want to face those things. But they didn't think this thing through, and they just wanted to end it. This made me think right away how blessed we are to have God's gift of changing the way that we think about things, the way we act on things. You know, we are so blessed as Christians because God has given us the mind of a Christian and not of a person of the world. We need to realize how important our thought life is and ask God to help us control our thoughts in the way that He would want us to control those thoughts. The way that we think of things, and we think that are very important, and we think about things that can lead us into depression, anger, unforgiveness, hopelessness, poor self-image, worry, fear, jealousy, vengefulness, and 100 other negative emotions. But the good news about this is that we can also think ourselves out of such negativeness. It's all a question of how we think and what we think about. How important are thoughts? Proverbs 27:7 says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Do you realize what he's saying here and what this verse is saying to us? God is trying to teach us that a person's thought life determines what that person is. As a person thinks, so that person is. This verse summarizes the importance of our thought life more clearly than any other verse in the Bible. Our thoughts are so important because thoughts lead to actions. And our thoughts define our character. Our thoughts determine our attitude. And as I look back at young people in early life, and the thoughts and the actions and the things that they go through, and I think about my early life before I was into the church, and the thoughts and the actions and how that did truly define what was in my heart, and how now my thoughts and actions still define truly what is in my heart. Two important things here that we need to keep in mind. First of all, we need to realize that we can control our thoughts. And the next thing we need to learn is how we can do it. Many people fail to realize that our minds are not some type of a runaway machine over which we have no control. The exact opposite is true. We can and must learn to take control over our minds. We need to ask God to help us learn how to yield our minds to Him so that we can overcome Satan and do things the way God wants us to do them. 2 Corinthians 11, 2 and 3 says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Paul's writing this letter to people that he loved. He had deep concern for these individuals. He cared about these individuals. But he could see something there that he needed to take care of. And he had been instrumental in leading these people to the Christian way of life. His concerns are summarized here in this verse when he wrote, "But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, craftiness, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ." You realize what Paul is saying here. Satan is trying to lead us also away from the faith in Christ. He works continuously at that. The means by which he does that is through our thoughts. He can put thoughts in our mind. Satan's in the business of mind control. He wants people's minds. He wants us to think like he thinks. Paul knew of Satan's incredible ability to lead people away from Jesus. And he knew also that the evil one wants to reach inside of our minds with his corrupt suggestions and make us do things we don't want to do. God wants to lead you to a rich, fruitful, and joyful, filled life. On the other hand, Satan wants to destroy everything that is good in your life. The battle of your allegiance often takes place in your minds. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of the strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." In this world, we struggle against forces of evil that are more powerful than we are. Fortunately, God has promised to use His forces of good on our behalf, and He fights for us. But we face a choice as to whom we yield. God has granted us that choice. And Satan has power and the ability to mislead us. But we need to realize and decide who we're going to yield to. And these verses is found one of the most important pieces of instruction we will ever get. Paul wrote that we should take every thought captive to obey Christ. How does Satan attack us through the thought process? Just imagine how he could do this. Satan has the ability to drop a suggestion into your mind. A thought comes to you to do something that we know is wrong. And before long, there's a few thoughts that follow that thought that justify that wrong behavior, or that show you how you could get by with doing such a thing. And most of the time, we even wonder, why in the world did I think that? We don't even know why that thought was in our mind. But it was there. And I think that's Satan working in all of us. All temptation begins with a thought that Satan gently puts there and drops it into our mind. And it happens to all of us. Jesus warned us that temptation to sin are sure to come. Temptations and sin are sure to come. It's not a matter of when or not, whether or not such thoughts are going to come. It's a matter of what we're going to do when they do come. We can let them run free through our minds and grow. Or we can do what Paul tells us to do here. We can take every thought captive. When that evil thought comes, we can grab onto it and say, this is wrong. This is wrong. I'm not going to give in to such a thought. We need to learn to take evil thoughts captive and replace them with good ones. Paul teaches us in Corinthians, I'm just going to skip that part. There's some more important instruction and good wisdom in a passage in Colossians 3 and 2. Set your minds on things that are above and not on things that are on earth. One criticism that people who are not Christians make is that there's no difference between the people who claim to be Christians and those who don't. And I would have to agree that that is a legitimate criticism, for there ought to be a distinct difference there between the person that's a Christian and the person who's not Christian. Those who follow Christ and those who don't follow Christ. But how does that happen? How do we allow God to make the difference in our life? Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And to be conformed to this, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's very easy for us to be conformed to this world. We're in this world every day, and we're taking part in this world and the things in this world every day. We've all had times when we've given in to temptations of one kind or another. But there's a way to avoid letting that happen. Paul says the way we avoid being conformed conformed to this world is to be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So we need to think different. We all so happy for Junior, but now his mind will think different. His mind will work different. I know my mind worked different when I accepted Christ and come up out of that watery grave. I know your mind probably works different since you've been baptized, if you have. Be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. That's what Paul tells us. Do not conform outwardly to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by the complete change of mind. Then you'll be able to know the will of God, what is that good and pleasing to Him and is perfect. When you hear cussing, does that bother you? That's because your mind's been transformed. It used to didn't bother me. I could sit next to somebody that swore all day long. It didn't bother me. There were some words that was really bad that might have concerned me, but most of the time it didn't bother me. Now, even to use a very small bad word bothers me. And I don't like to be a part of that. And you know what? I think people around you realize that. People realize that because when you're not around and you happen to walk into the room and you hear them using that and they stop, to me, they appreciate you for what you are and they change their thinking also. That God will change our way of thinking. Once we're baptized, once we become a Christian, He does change our way of thinking. By nature, we are all self-willed, self-centered. We live that philosophy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God will transform us into being concerned about others. I just still, to this day, cannot believe the concern that's in this congregation right here and amongst Christians for somebody that walks in that back door that we don't know from Adam, and they're willing to help that individual. When I was outside of Christ, that was not there. You know, it was just not there. And to me, that is God has changed you and your life. God definitely changes our way of thinking. God will help us to see instant pleasure and bring us ultimately through long-time problems. God will do that as He allows our minds to be filled with His truth and as we keep our minds focused on Him. When we take our eyes off of God and His truths, we will find ourselves in trouble. Tyler read Hebrews 12, 1 through 4 for you this morning. God gives us the ability to preserve and to make it through the severe tests that come our way. But we must keep our minds focused on Jesus and His truth. If we want to be transformed into the kind of people that God wants us to be, we must start by allowing Him to renew our minds. And to renew our minds with that truth and keep ourselves focused on that truth. So remember Romans 12 and 2. Do not conform outwardly to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of mind. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good and is pleasing to Him and is perfect. If you're here this morning and you're outside of Christ, He's waiting to change your mind about the way you think and the way you do things. Give you a more pleasant life. Give you a more fulfilling life. I can't think of one unhappy thing that's happened to me since I've become Christian. I could stand here for probably an hour and relate to you things that I can still remember that weren't happy in my life and pleasant in my life before I accepted Christ. He wants to change your mind this morning. He wants to make you think and be a positive person. If you wish to be baptized, wish to accept Jesus Christ into your life this morning, or whatever your needs be, if the congregation here can help you in any way, we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing.